And right now, so far this year, we've been able to stay pretty firm into that. And that will be no different today. When Jesus taught, he always, go through your scripture and check me, make sure I'm right. When Jesus taught, he always taught about the kingdom. Right? He never taught you how to heal people. Never taught you how to speak in tongues. Never taught you how to walk on water. He never taught you how to make loaves and fishes and to multitude and feed multitudes of people. What he did say is, I want you to know that there is a kingdom for you. That if I go, I'm going to come again and I'm going to call you to be in that kingdom with me. I've prepared for you a place. Amen. And he wants you to know that and have that confidence that in him is hope. In him is life. In him indeed is the abundance of life that we can have here because we have a hope in the kingdom there. All right. Now, many folks think, well, yeah, I got the kingdom. You know, I know about it. But is there anything that might prevent you to getting to the kingdom? What's standing in the way? All right, you know that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way, and no man goes to the Father except through him, right? So we know the way to Christ, but there's a lot of people, there's a whole bunch of people that think that works might be enough to get them to heaven. I have done such great work. I'm such a good person. Man, watch me do that. Boy, I've made it because I helped this person. I did that thing. I did the other thing. But that's not what gets you into the kingdom. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's real, that's deep, that's understanding. To know him is indeed eternal life. That's what he said in John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know the Father and the Son whom thou hast sent. Right? In that knowledge of God, we have eternal life. And knowing that God came in the flesh and died on a cross for my sin and rose on the third day, and I put my full weight, my full trust, all my faith in that and not of works of my own hand. That's what secures me to that kingdom of God. Right? Because it's not of works I have done, lest any man should boast. Amen? So in this, and in the process of Jesus' teaching, he comes to this place in Matthew chapter 19, and you can open your Bibles there, please. Or you can turn on your cell phones if you need to. Personally, Joshua, how's that sound? Yeah. Amen. You listen, you can hear it. And so anyhow, in chapter 19 and verse 16, say amen when you get there. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is speaking here to a young man that's going to come to him. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Good question, isn't it? Before we get into the answer, allow me to go to the Lord one more time and pray. Because sometimes my flesh gets a hold of me and I go chasing rabbits. Amen. And I need to stay on point today. So, Lord Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace again. Lord, I thank you that you said any time that we're gathered together in your name that you are here with us. Father, I thank you that you have brought people that know you, that have the Spirit of God in them. And Lord, if there be somebody here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you would pierce their heart in such a manner that they would desire you to be their Lord. And Lord, we worship you. We thank you for that. Father, before we get into the Word of God and start understanding what you have for the church today, Father, I pray that you would help me to decline, that I would become almost as nothing, that you would become everything. Lord, help me to humble myself before your throne, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would use my mouth to glorify who you are. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as this young ruler comes to Jesus and he asks a simple question, what do I have to do that I might have eternal life? What must I do? And Jesus, I love the way that he always answers questions with questions. The one came and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do? And Jesus, in verse 17, said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So he answers, but first he starts with the question. Who is good? None except who?
Jesus.
The Father, Jesus. You know, he says, listen, why are you who is seeking eternal life, why are you even considering me good? Are you calling me the Lord? That's what he's telling to this young man. Are you making a confession that you know me as the Father? Because there's only one good, and you just called me good. And are you sure? Get a grip, young ruler, what you're asking here. First, I want to know if you really are coming to understand what the grips of the kingdom and eternal life are. Do you really want to know me as the good master? Do you want to know me as the only one who is good? Do you want to understand me as the Father, the creator of all things? Do you want me that way? I don't know what the face of the young ruler was at that time, but he probably was puzzled. Something that he had never heard before from all the scribes and the Pharisees, and as he went to synagogue, that's probably not something he had ever heard before. So he's saying, wow, what do you mean? He says, well, listen, let me catch you up here, son. If you really wilt, if you desire, that wilt means desire, if you really, really want to enter into the kingdom, keep the commandments. Boy, that should have shot a dart right through his heart, because who besides Christ has ever kept the commandments of God? No one, not one person, has ever kept all the commandments perfectly. And then he asks this question, well, which one? You know, out of all the commandments you want me to keep, which one? That's what he says in verse 18, and he saith unto him, which of the commandments? What? Come on, tell me, I'm a pretty good guy, right? I'm pulling up my rich young ruler pants here, man. I'm a good dude. Man, tell me which one of the commandments? Well, let me ask you, which one of the commandments do you need to follow? But you can't fall two, all right? Which is it?
Love the Lord God with all your heart, strength, and soul,
and as yourself. If you have done those two, you have followed the fullness, you have completed all of the commandments. If you could do those, love the Lord your God with all your strength, soul, and mind. Everything that is in you, love God. Right? And after that, love your neighbor like you love yourself. The only problem is, we never do that. All right? I would love to say I love my neighbor as myself, but really, I love myself a lot more than I love my neighbor. If my neighbor's hungry, I am not going, well, I would feed her if she told me, but I mean, I don't know her that well, right? But when I'm hungry, I eat. Right? You can look at me. I have not missed too many meals. Right? If I'm thirsty, I get a drink, right? What I want, I do for myself because I love myself. You know, no man's ever hated his flesh. You know, I love me, right? But I'm supposed to love my neighbor just like that. But before I can love my neighbor like that, I got to have this right understanding of who God is. Who is this good, good Father, right? Who is he? And do I love him? That's a great question we need to ask ourselves. Do you really love God? Not just with your mouth, but I mean with the fullness of your life, with all of your strength, with all of your might, with all of your mind, with all of your body. Do you really love God? I believe that if you answer that honestly, you'll say no. Right? I mean, really and truly, examine yourself, because I can't check you out. I know one thing in my personal life, I don't love him as much as I could. I can get better, right? Through the power of Jesus Christ, I can love more than what I love now. I can spend more time in prayer. I can spend more time in the Word. I can spend more time in just doing good things. But with all the good things you do, is it still good enough? No. Amen. Thank you, Alan. No, it's not. Your good works does not count until you trust Jesus Christ is his good works. That's what makes the difference, not yours. And so Jesus lays out some commandments to him. The young man, the young ruler said, well, which one? Where do you want me to do? And he says, thou shalt not murder. You can probably say, I've never murdered anybody. And he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the young man says, well, I'm pretty sure I've never done any of those things. Thou shalt not steal. I don't know if the young ruler could bear on that because he's a wealthy man, and most wealthy people have stole something. That's just the way it is. All right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All right? It's funny, Jesus didn't hit all 10 of those. All 10 of the commandments. Right? He only went through, five. He only hit half of them. Right? So he said, listen, if you'll honor your father and mother, if you won't commit adultery, if you don't murder, if you don't steal from folks, if you don't bear false witness, if you don't do those things, then you'll be all right. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept since my youth. So what do I lack? Well, there's five more commandments, dude, that he hadn't touched. All right, but anyhow, what do I lack? Now, the neat thing is that Jesus did not condemn the man for the pride that he just spoke out of his mouth. Right? He didn't say, you ignorant young ruler, you broke all those commandments, dude, and I know it because I'm God. I know that you broke those commandments. I know for a fact that when you were 7 years old, you disobeyed your mom getting into the cookie jar. I know that she told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. You broke that commandment. I know for a fact that when you were playing with your dreidel, isn't that what it was? The Hebrew boys, they played with their dreidel, right? They were playing with your dreidel, and you liked the little boy's dreidel better than your dreidel, and you took it and you put it in your pocket. I knew you did that. But see, Jesus didn't fuss with him about those things. Now see, I want to think about this as we're witnessing to people, as we're loving people, and you say, this is how you get saved. You've got to trust the Lord Jesus and walk with him. And they'll say, well, I've trusted the Lord Jesus, but I've never walked with him. Notice Jesus didn't argue with the man about what he knew he did not do. How often do we as Christians desire to fight with somebody because of they think that they're righteous, right? I've done all that I can do, right? And we say, or you talk to them, the guy says, well, I'm trying to live by the commandments, I'm good enough, I'll make it to God by my own good works. And then we fight them, we put them up, what do you mean? I know you're not good, you dirty rascal, you know? And we try to argue with these people. Jesus didn't argue with them. He didn't fuss with him. He didn't confront him at all. Just laid one more thing down. Yeah, y'all ever watch Columbo? Mm-hmm.
Just one more thing.
Just one more thing, all right? All right, I'm through questioning you. I believe that you're innocent, but there's one more thing that's really on me. And he lays it out to him about this man's greed. He touches on the thing, that one thing that's preventing him from entering into eternal life. He's going to point at one spot that's going to crumble that man's self-righteousness. And Jesus said to the man, verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, if you really desire to be perfect, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Two things. I said one. There's two things that he has to do. One is, what was preventing him to truly getting into the kingdom of heaven? It was his hold to the earth. Right? He had his hold on the things of this world. He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of things. He had a lot of stuff. And Lord, I would really want to follow you into eternal life, but you know, I got my U-Haul. You know, I got all my storage shed stuff, right? I would love to give my heart to the missions, but you know, I've got myself so far in debt that I can't do that. I'm chained to this. Jesus Jesus says, listen, whatever is holding you back from really entering in to becoming perfect, to becoming whole, to becoming one with Him, is to let go of the things that are binding you up. Now, I don't know what's binding you up. I really don't. And you don't know what's binding me up, but I'll let you know, I have things in my life. It's not as if I have made it, all right? But one thing I do is I forget those things that are behind and I persevere. I push toward the high call of Christ. How many Christians are really doing that today? Letting go of the things of this world and holding on to the promises that are in the kingdom. Do we really want the kingdom? Do you want to be perfect? And the second thing he said, and that's follow me. Get rid of everything that's holding you back and follow Jesus. And I was thinking about this. When God needed Jonah to go to Nineveh, he called a fish. Right? And that fish did something. He obeyed him. Right? Why do we have such a hard time obeying God, letting go of things? When the battle was fierce and Moses was on the side and he was holding his hands up and God was, he said, come on, I need some help. And Caleb was on one side, Joshua was on the other. And they lifted his hands up in prayer. And as long as his hands were up, the battle would be won. Every time he lowered his hands, the battle would stop. You need help, right? We can't fight this alone. I need help to let go of this world to hold on to the kingdom. I need help. Now, none of you guys can help me, so where do I get my help? Where's my help coming from? Amen. From the Lord. I look to the hill from where my help comes. I look to the King of Kings. I look to the Lord of all creation. I look to Him because I know that in and of myself, I cannot do these things. It's impossible with me. Which Peter's going to find out here in a minute further in the Scripture. So what do we got to do? First, you got to know that there is a kingdom, that there is a reward. The second thing you need to know is it's going to cost you something. All right. Now, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Right? So I'm not saying that you got to work for your salvation. That's not what Jesus is saying here. But what is it going to cost me? I've got to let go of these things that hold me back. I've got to let go of those things that might stop me from following the Lord with the fullness of my life. Whatever it is that is stopping me from obeying Him, whatever it is that's stopping me from really helping and loving and caring for others, whatever is in my way, whatever is blocking me, I've got to learn how to let go of that, that I can reach and hold on to the hem of His garment for my healing, for the healing of the nation, for the healing of people. Our help does not come from each other, but it comes from God. Do we really believe that enough to let go of the things of this earth, that we might have the things of the kingdom, that life eternal, that love, that compassion, the light of everlasting life? But much like the young man, the young rich ruler, he became sorrowful because he had great possessions. How many that come to churches every week? Thank you, Lord. They come to churches every week, but they hold on loosely to the Lord and hold on tightly to the world. Jesus said, to be my disciple, you've got to love me how much? More than
anything.
Well, he laid some things out, all right? You got to love me more than your mom, your dad? You got to love me more than that. Got to love me more than your children. Right? You got to love me more than what you love your kids. You got to follow me more than you worship them. Man, so America, we got that messed up. We got our kids wagging us like a tail wagging a dog. I said that way on purpose. You look at the children are running the households nowadays. Well, I would really love to come and worship in the body of Christ. I'd really love to come to put all of my weight and my love into this ministry of God. But we got baseball games. I would love to come and really serve the Lord with the fullness of my heart, with all that I have, but there's a soccer tournament. Man, something's messed up in that whole thought process. And there's nothing wrong with baseball. There's nothing wrong with soccer. There's nothing wrong with sports at all. But when you love anything more than you love God, that has become an idol to you. And it is a weight. We're trying to get into heaven. We're trying to get into the kingdom. But we're holding on to the world with both hands. Man, I would love to follow Jesus, but my 401k won't let me. I would love to follow Jesus, but I've got to do this because I owe that. You know? Jesus said, when you become a borrower, you become slave to the lender. The only one I want to be a slave to is Jesus Christ. So you know what we're not going to do? Go into debt. You know, massively. I mean, there's some things you've got to go into debt for. I don't think anybody has the cash in their pocket to buy a home. If you do, glory to God. I hope that you do. You know, man, I want a house. I want a house. So I'm going to go. I got $100,000 in my pocket. I'm going to go buy one, right? It'd be great if we could do that, but chances are we don't. You know, so you've got to go into debt for some things. But to live in a state of debtedness, you can't buy groceries. You can't go, like right now, there's a rush on toilet paper. Craziest thing in the world. But anyhow, so there's a rush on toilet paper, but I can't buy toilet paper without my credit card. And a lot of people live like that every day. And they can't follow God. They can't do what the Lord told them to. They can't let go of stuff because they don't have any concept of the everlasting. It's only the right now to do without for a little while. And not that I'm trying to dwell on toilet paper, but if you run out of toilet paper, wet a washcloth. Okay? You don't have to have Charmin. I don't care how squeezably soft it is. They used cloth for a million years.
Newspaper.
Well, not newspaper. Yeah, newspaper. Of course, when you get the ink in your underwear, that's different.
Ink, see?
Stop. Yeah.
Steve's got corn cobs.
Steve got corn cobs. Okay. And so Jesus is saying, listen, if you really want to have this relationship, you really want to have eternal life, let go of the world. Let go of the things that are so easily ensnaring you. Love me more than you love anything else. Truly follow me, worship me with the fullness of your heart and life. Don't let the things of this earth slow you down or get in your way. And when the young man, he heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now think about what just happened to that young man. He just left eternity for stuff. For things that you're not going to bring with you when you die. What a sad state that is. You come to the Lord and you say, Lord, what do I got to do to have eternal life? And he gives you some ideas. This is what I want you to do. And you say, well, God, I've done all that ever since I was born. I was born in America, made me a Christian. My grandmama, she bought them chairs that you're sitting in, see it on, and she wrote on the side of there her name, and so that's our pew forever, you know. And my grandmama was a great woman of God. How about you? You know, your grandmama was able to let go of the purse spring for a little bit just to purchase a pew. What are you willing to do for the kingdom of God? What are you willing to do for the eternal riches of glory? Are you willing to let go of anything that might prevent you from going there or receiving what God has for you? Verse 23 says, and then Jesus said, and then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I say again unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard that, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? I like that the way that the King James reads. Well, I like the way the King James reads, period. All right? I mean, there's a lot of different varieties. I can't say the other V word.
Versions.
Yeah. The other one, I was thinking of a pure woman, right? And so I couldn't get that word out of my mouth. And so anyhow, there's different varieties of the Bible, but the way that the King James read here is in depth and it's personal. Listen to what Jesus says. It is hard that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom. It's hard. They will barely enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm glad he said barely or hardly there, you know, because some rich folks will get, but the majority of them will not, because they're not willing to let go of the things of this life that are preventing them to go in. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there's two different thoughts about this. Some folks think of a sewing needle, right? And it would be hard to put a camel through the eye of a sewing needle. It's hard to put a thread through the eye of a sewing needle, especially the older I get, the worse my eyes become. You go like this for 30 minutes before you can get it through there. But anyhow, when you're coming into one of the old villages or fortresses or stuff like that, you had to go through a low-lying entrance to get into the kingdom. All right, so for a camel to get in, it would actually have to lay down on its belly and crawl. And camels do not like to crawl. You know, you look at them in nature, they just don't do it. You can't really get a horse to crawl. Right? Now think about that. You've got to get your horse on, not on its hooves, but on his belly, on his knees, to crawl and to get into the kingdom. Well, it's hard to do that for a camel. So that's what Jesus is saying. That's the picture that he's trying to get in. It's not impossible to get him to do that, but it's very difficult to get him to do that. It's very difficult for a really wealthy person, a really rich person, to get into the kingdom of God simply because they're holding on to too many things of this world. They're holding on to the riches. They're holding on to their properties. They're holding on to the things of this life. And Jesus is pointing that out, making it simple. And his disciples heard it. They were amazed, all right, because really, if the rich folks ain't going to get into heaven, then who is? Right? And that was their mindset. And unfortunately, that's the mindset of many folks that go to churches today. Well, those folks, God has blessed them so much. Look at that brand new Lamborghini they have. Forget the debt that it took to get them there. You know? Look at the great wealth. God is blessing them so much. They have so much stuff. Oh, they got all the toys. Right? They're so wealthy. Well, that doesn't mean they have a relationship with God. You know, chances are to get all those toys, all that stuff, you had to invest a lot of your time, a lot of your energy, a lot of your heart into those things to retrieve them. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. Food, clothing, shelter. See, we really don't need all those entrapments, because the more things you have to entrap you, guess what it makes you? Trapped. It makes you trapped. They're entrapments. They're called entrapments for a reason. Because they keep you from being free to follow God with the fullness of your heart. And so the disciples were amazed, because they're looking at this guy and say, he must be going to heaven because he has all this stuff. And so they're amazed and they said, well, who can be saved? If the rich can't be saved, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Woohoo! Man, how are you going to get saved?
Through Jesus.
How about you, Joshua? Are you going to be able to save yourself?
Nope.
Is any one human being outside of Jesus the Christ, are you able to get into the kingdom? Any other way? One way. What is that way? Jesus. It's through Jesus, right? It's through a relationship with him. It's through you humbling yourself before the cross of Jesus Christ, having faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that he has a spot for you, that he's prepared a place for you, and that he's coming again someday to get you. Right? And he doesn't care if you got the flu or not. All right? If he comes to get you, he's coming to get you, and you're going to go. All the other stuff doesn't matter. So have a focus on what the Word of God says, and that he is, with man it's impossible to be saved. You cannot save yourself. But with God, all things are possible. Who is able to come to the kingdom? Starts at E and ends in... Everybody! Everybody, anybody who wants it can have it. Anybody, if you really want it, you can have it. Right? Question is, do you want it bad enough to let go of this? Anybody here ever swim? Even a short distance over your head. Now, if you took a 50-pound weight and tied it to your back, could you swim? A little bit, right? But sooner or later, you're going to drown, right? Could you swim a lot easier if you shook that weight off? Of course you could. All right, so often we're trying to swim, we're trying to do the things of the kingdom, to follow Jesus Christ, and we're so weighted down by the garbage of this world. We're so weighted down by the lack of focus on what God wants us to do. Now you're saying, listen, if you want to swim with me, all you got to do is cast off this weight. When you cast off this weight, you can swim free and long and far, and you can make it to the other side. But if you choose to hold on to that stuff, it's going to drag you down. You just can't make it across this great divide, carrying all these cares and these desires and this lust for this life. Let go of those things. Let go of these things that you might have life eternal with the Father. And I want that more than I want this. The present suffering of this age is not worthy to be compared to the glory. The things of this life right now are not worthy to be compared to the things that God has in store for you, saved up for you. The things that you do in your own mind, your own life, your own ways is not worthy for the kingdom. Then Peter asked this, and he says, listen, Jesus, we have forsaken all. Those are big boots right there. Now, Peter's telling the truth. Think about what Peter left. He was a married man. He left his wife. I know you, anybody who comes from the Catholic religion, you may not believe that Peter was married, but Peter had a mother-in-law that Jesus healed. You don't get a mother-in-law without a wife, right? You just can't have one without the other, okay? So Peter was married. And in that, he said, listen, Jesus, I left my wife for you. Right? Not that he got a divorce, but instead of snuggling up next to my warm baby every night, I'm laying in the grass with you. Right? And we already know that Jesus said that birds have nests, but I don't have a bed. Foxes have holes, but I have nowhere to lay my head. Right? So they left all that stuff. Peter left his fishing business. He was a fisherman, right? And Jesus had just made him catch the most fish he had ever caught in his whole life. And Jesus said, forget about the fish, Peter, and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. And immediately he left his nets. So he let go of the things of the world. And he said, because I believe Jesus has something better for me, I'm letting go of this thing that's entrapping me here on this earth. And guess what? Peter got it, all right? He got the kingdom. But what did he have to do before that? He was crucified upside down, as the Book of Martyrs tells us. So he did say, Lord, we've given all to follow you. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, in verse 28, verily, truthfully I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when? And the renewal, the regen. When's that happen? When is all things going to be made new? On the last day. Amen? In the regeneration. So should I expect, name it, claim it. All right? Wealth and prosperity, gospel, here it is. You trust Jesus? Everything's all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns now. It's what was that? The leprechaun. Rainbows. Yeah, the pot of gold, there's a Lucky Charms, that's what it is. Right? Lucky Charms, right? And so you open up the Lucky Charms, the rainbow comes out, you got all the sweet little marshmallow flavors. Well, that's not Christianity. A lot of folks are preaching that is Christianity. You say the prayer and all of a sudden, ta-da, it's just angel dust falls all over you, man. There's no problems left in the world. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says, if you trust me, it's hard. It's a narrow way. It's tough. Not everybody who confesses, not everybody who just confesses with their mouth, because Isaiah says, you draw near to me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. There's a lot of folks who confess Jesus Christ, but have no understanding about the eternal rewards for the suffering in this present age. Letting go of these things to hold on to those things. Are you ready? Do you want to let go of these things? Do you really believe that there's a kingdom, that there's an eternal life, that you have to let go of and not expect any reward until the resurrection, until the regeneration, as Jesus calls it here? When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, and ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is a very specific thing for the 12 apostles. You will not judge the tribes of Israel. There's only 12 thrones. You ain't got one of them. All right? That's not yours to have. All right? Don't covet it. It doesn't belong to you. Right? This is, he's talking to his disciples right here. Ye shall sit upon 12 thrones. And if all the Christians got 12 thrones, we'd really be stacked up. Right? It'd be like a throne and 7 million people standing on top of it. It's just not realistic. So he's talking to the disciples here. And then this is for everybody else. And everyone, that's how we know it's for everyone else. Who did he say it was for? Everyone else. All right? If you trust Jesus Christ, this falls into you. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. All right? All right, we're going to get to the last verse here in a little bit. But let's wrap our mind around this. Okay? Let me ask you this. Have you forsaken anything for Jesus Christ? All right, you got to boil that down in your own pot. All right, that's not for me to say. You know, it's not for me to judge. It's for you to check out for yourself. What have you given up of this world for the kingdom of God to come? Is there anything that you're trying to swim across this life with? Is there anything that you have said, well, God, I love you more than this, and I'm cutting the rope to that, the tie to that, I'm going to let it sink to the bottom, that I might go faster and further with you? Think about those things. What in your life have you desired more than the kingdom? Or have you desired the kingdom more than anything in this life? What are you willing to lose? Are you willing to lose houses? Family relationships? You know? The Bible says it's this way or that way. You know, I don't believe what you believe, all right? That's what your family might say. You're crazy for going to church. There's a virus in America. You're crazy for going to church. I'm crazy for a lot more than that, okay? But the world is looking at it this way. Your family might be looking at it this way. I can't believe that you're paying tithe to a church, you know? All the church wants is your money. No, all the bars want are your money, right? That's who wants your money. As you notice, we don't pass a plate here. I know that y'all are here there all the time. We don't ask for your money. Personally, I don't care if you do that or not. If you don't do it, that's on you and God. I mean, he's going to take care of you. I ain't got to worry about it. But if you want to, there's a box in the back. That's between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. But a lot of folks don't think that way. They don't think. And when their family comes against them, well, you crazy Bible-thumping Christian. Right? I don't know if you said brother or mother, but I hear
his
you.
His brother.
Oh. And so, but you know, your family, anybody who doesn't know the Lord, that's what they think. And they will hate you for it. My oldest son will not talk to me because of this Bible. He's my son. Right? He won't talk to me because I believe this Bible. And every time I get around him, I tell him about this Bible. I tell him about the God of this Bible. I tell him about his salvation. I tell him about the kingdom. I tell him about hell. Turn or burn, son, I love you. I want you to have life everlasting, but if you choose death, I can't stop you. You have a free will. And so my son won't speak to me anymore. And that's it. I miss it some, you know, but yeah, I can't say that I'm real tore up about it. I, because God promised me if I love him more than I love my own family, he will give me more than that. And I look around, I say, wow, I got you, you got me, I got you, I got you. Mike, I got you, although you're leaving. I got you, you know. God has replaced that one relationship that I have with him with hundreds of people, right? Now, do I miss that one relationship? Sure. But I would rather have Jesus, right? I would rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hands than to be a king of a vast domain, right? I'd rather have him and be called by his name, right? What would you rather have? Relationship to your mom, your dad, your wife, your children? Would you rather just buy more property? Do you want to have more stuff? And you've heard me say it 1,000 times here. You will not find a U-Haul following the hearse. When you die, everything that you gathered here stays here. All of your stuff gets given to somebody you probably don't like anyhow. Right? I mean, really and truly, especially if they didn't, I mean, you're going to leave it to somebody, but they probably don't like you. That's okay. It's stuff. Who cares? Right? But if you follow him, you lose it for his name's sake, you drop all those things off, you're going to receive 100-fold more. And you shall inherit eternal life. All right? I got more with Christ than I had without him. And not only do I have more love, more joy, more peace, more hope, more compassion, I have an abundant life with Christ Jesus. And not only that, I have a promise of the kingdom. I got a promise that one day when I lay this old corruption down, that I'm going to be raised incorruptible. There will be a day that this Curtis Fitz that you see right here will sin no more. Wow! Praise God! There's coming a day where I will feel no pain no more. My heart won't be broke no more. All of the formal things will be forgotten. Amen? That's in the kingdom. Now, what am I willing to take a chance not to receive that kingdom for? A new motorcycle? I don't even ride motorcycles. I don't know why that came up. Or a new thing, whatever it is, whatever the thing is. Would you rather have that than eternal life? I hope not. And how about pride? Jesus nails pride down pretty hard here. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Right? I was really planning on getting into this next parable because it really explains this. This is like a cliffhanger. Tune in next time. Same bad time, same bad channel. But next time, Jesus is talking about, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers. I know I said I was finished, but I...
Keep going, Curtis. We can't go anywhere anyway. Where are we going to go?
We can't go nowhere, nohow. I know that I got a meeting at 1 o'clock, you know, so I can't be late for that because I'm going to the thing. This is way too important to rush through, all right? So what I want you to do is think about what Jesus has said this week, all right? What we went through about the rich young ruler and how he's talking about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And I challenge you, read your Bible, okay? Read your Bible. Go home this week, and it's not far, it's just a few verses, right? Excuse me. Chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. Think you can read 16 verses in a whole week? Hey, listen, you're not going to work, you're not going to school. Right? Like you said, you ain't got nothing else to do. Read your Bible, spend some time with Jesus. And next week, when we gather together, we'll work on this, because this is where I wanted to start. But as I was getting into it this morning and praying, the Lord woke me up. I got here at 4:30 this morning. I've been here a while. Okay? And God said, although I know that you want to teach this part, but if you skip this part, you're going to miss the meaning of that part. And I really thought I was going to be able to sing through that first part. But y'all know, God keeps me on a real short leash. And I do motorboat, putt-putt stuff. I don't speedboat anywhere. Right? And so anyhow, next week, I pray that you read that, come back, and we're going to get into this next parable about the kingdom of heaven and the landowner. Right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace and for the opportunity, Lord, that you gave us to gather together today. Lord, that we could worship you. Father, I pray that you have shown us some things in your word. Lord, that you have talked to us in such a manner that we're willing to let go of this present world that we might gain life and that eternally. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. I pray, Father, that as we go into this world this next week, Lord, that you would keep us with a heart of peace, with a voice of hope, with a life of compassion, your peace, your mercy, your love and joy, that we could pour it out into our communities in a real personal way, Father. And we ask that you would move mighty on us and in us for that. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. We got